The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but Brett in the 715 says, I think there are multiple Johnny Rain clouds on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now it's Jen and Josh versus Gabe and Chewy. Well, I'm about to rain cloud through this segment, guys, so buckle up. Jordan Love has 10 interceptions on the season. That has him tied for the league lead with Geno Smith. Not really a guy you want to be in any sort of category, but Geno's fine. He's fine, to use a term that Gabe uses often. He has thrown a pick in 7 straight starts. That's the longest streak by a Packers quarterback since Favre did it back in 2006. Tut, tut, it looks like rain. So the issue, of course, is, and we have said this here on this show, that can't continue. You cannot keep it up at that pace and expect to be a championship caliber team. But yesterday, when Matt LaFleur was asked again about the interceptions that Jordan Love has thrown, he had this to say.
It all started with the protection. We didn't protect the right way. So there was some leakage inside that flushed him out of the pocket. I think he would agree with you that in that situation, he's just got to throw the ball away and live to play the next down.
I think that's true. The live to play the next
play
down.
Call.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a dumb play call. It's a dumb play call. You're 2nd and 1 on your what? They were backed up, right?
They weren't backed up. They're on their like 35.
But still, I mean, this whole notion of the, oh, 2nd and 1, air it out, run a flea flicker, stuff like that. And slop, just move the ball. Get the first down. You had momentum. If you run the ball, Josh Jacob was, at that time, was running the ball really well. Just compile first downs.
Well, but it's a 2-minute
drill. Don't put him in that position. It's like, what?
It's the 2-minute drill. You got to get a chunk play there at some point to try to get some points before the half, no?
Yeah, but you're still got time, right? Most teams, Gabe, when you go 2nd and 1, they're expecting the down the field throw. You know, who knows if Josh Jacobs, who was running the ball, I thought he ran the ball great. Who knows if he knocks one out for 13, 14 yards?
Yeah, right? I mean, the problem was Jayden Reed was wide open.
Yeah, I mean, there were.
If they protected.
There were 32 seconds left. Like, I don't know how much you're running the ball with 32 seconds left trying to push the ball down the field.
Yeah, but your mindset should be like, get 3 out of the deal.
Well, yeah, but you still need a chunk play at some point there in order to get into field goal range, right?
To me, I think it's a bigger shock if you run the ball there instead of throwing it down. How many timeouts did they have left?
They had a handful. I don't know.
I mean, help him out.
I'm seeing a timeout on that drive.
They had one timeout left when Jordan Love threw the interception.
Yeah, because was it Emmanuel Wilson stayed in bounds there or Chris Brooks, one of the two?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought he could have helped them out there. Now, yeah, it was a stupid decision by Jordan, but I just think, you know, LaFleur's got to take a little bit of responsibility there. I just didn't like the call. I just didn't like it.
So he's obviously talking about the protection for Jordan Love on that play specifically, but he also has talked about how it's been annoying to address these interceptions, right? That was mm-hmm. the thing he said after the game on Sunday, I believe. Something like, it's annoying. He's fighting. He's competing. We know we've got to take care of the football. You guys are going to make. I understand, like, it's really annoying up here, though. We know we've got to take care of the football. I don't question anything about what he's trying to do. We've just got to do it better. No. I don't question anything about what he's trying to do. Like, there's a fine line between living to play another down, which is what we're expecting from the quarterback of the team, and being reckless with the football.
We thought it was a lesson that he was going to learn the hard way, and we were hoping he was going to learn the hard way after
quickly.
The interception he threw against San Francisco in the postseason.
Yes. Well, and I would even argue earlier this year, there was the interception that he threw in the end zone. Right? Wasn't that a weird fluky play where he was trying to keep it alive as well? And
I mean, yeah. a lot of these interceptions are bad interceptions. Straight up bad. It's not like, oh, that one got tipped. Just as Joshy described it before, there have been some Will Levis throws that are concerning.
Yeah.
Where it's just a straight up bad decision of like, why are you trying to save this play? Throw it away. And Chewy, like you said, 2nd and 1, you throw it away. Guess what? It's 3rd and 1. Still got a chance to pick up that first down and have an opportunity to get yourself into field goal range.
So, like, is there some rewiring chew that needs to go on?
You know, there's a possibility that the pressure of the contract and the play and it all falls on his shoulders getting to him. I think we can all say at times he tries to do too much. Right?
Yeah. On that play in particular, yes.
Yeah. He's just trying to too much. Yeah, that, you know what? And Keith Jackson, greatest line ever. Just live to play another day. You know? Nothing wrong with throwing in the dirt. And I think he'll eventually learn. But you just don't know what kind of pressure he's under because he knows his stats. He knows how he's playing. He knows where he ranks with other quarterbacks in the league. There's so much downtime. This is what players do. And with the ability of being able to grab your phone and look at things like that, players know that stuff. And this, he knows that this team is only going to go far as he takes them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Can you guys remember Jordan Love really throwing the ball away ever, except for down in the red zone a couple times? Does he do that?
Well, so I was wondering about that. So, like, even Jason, was it Jason? No, it was Rob. Somebody we were talking to yesterday, or maybe it was on one of the shows, was talking about how, you know, did he recognize that he had been flushed from the pocket so then it wouldn't be an intentional grounding type of thing? Like, that
seemed
is
like
all,
he was running for his life. I think all, he should know that, right?
Right. That's all a processing thing, isn't it, Chu? Like, recognizing, again, just the specifics of the circumstances that you are currently in. If he was worried about an intentional grounding, well, buddy, don't you are well out of the pocket. Right? So, like, as long as you get it past the line of scrimmage, you're good.
One thing it's hard for fans to understand, and it took me standing on the sideline being out for a game, just on how fast this game is and how fast you have to process. Like, that hit, the hit on Melton.
Oh, from Branch?
You know, it looked, when they slow it down, that looked like a lot of time. That is not. That's probably not even a second. It's like bing, bing, you know, and that's why you see a lot of these first rounders can't play because they can't process enough. He just needs to rep. He needs to be coached. He needs to learn from these mistakes, which I think he will. But the worst thing probably for Jordan Love is that he played so well at the end of the season last year. And that's what we expect. And that's not always what you get. Right. And I'll give you another frustration. Right. Because we used to have to fight it early on when we got there. It is so hard not to blame the other side of the ball. Now, you sit there around your locker and like, flipping defense sucks, you know? That is human nature. And with Jordan, it's like, will you please just catch the damn ball, please? Make my job a little easier. And then you press, and then you start to do too much.
Well, yeah, but if he
knows.
But let's say, Chewy, you know this, because you've always said that Brett would never do it. Like, if he actually ever voiced that out loud, wouldn't the receivers go, all right, stop throwing it to the other team then?
Yes.
Well, didn't he get close to that, maybe as close as Jordan has ever gotten this week when he said basically catchable ball, right?
Yeah.
Am I remembering that correctly from Sunday? It was kind of like, I think when he goes back and looks at it, he's going to think, I should have made that catch.
And that's why you really, as a quarterback, and I disagree with the way Rodgers used to handle it. But you have to. There's a fine line between pissing a player off and like letting him know that I know you should have caught that ball, right? And that's the line. It's tough. But these are all things that, as human beings, that's what goes through your head.
Chewy,
why is Keith Jackson getting? You know, it's like Jen. Why is Keith Jackson getting that play and I'm not? That's human nature, you know, because everyone wants to have 9 catches for 130 and 2 touchdowns, and it's not realistic.
I guess the more pressing concern is, can it be fixed? You, Chu, as somebody who has been in the locker room, you know, again, Brett notoriously threw a lot of interceptions. I'm not sure that it was ever something that they were, like, going back to the drawing board and fixing, because it was sort of just, like, the other side of the brilliant play, the incredible play coin. Mm-hmm. How do you fix it with Jordan? What does Tom Clemens need to be doing right now to say, you know, again, to me, it's a processing thing. It's saying the worst thing that could happen here is throwing an interception and then running it back for a pick six. Like, that's the worst thing. Like, risk reward and all of those calculations are happening, as you said, in a split second moment. How do you teach a guy that in that situation, you need to handle it this way? How does that work?
it's hard because everyone has different personalities. You know, some guys get offended. The biggest thing, and the toughest, you know, the hardest thing for us is all we deal in is the negative, right? When we watch film, they're not sitting there with Jordan when he throws a nice 18-yard dig route to Dobbs going, oh, let's just keep running, rerun, you know, let's look at that over. You don't. You watch it like, hey, great play, great feet, great throw. Dobbs, good job. On to the next. See this play? Not good. You can't do that. You know, so if you get, you really can't have thin skin. And I played with guys that have thin skin in this business. And Mike couldn't rip them. You know, and it's tougher to teach a guy like that who's sensitive as opposed to just give me the bad stuff. And it's hard as a player because, Jen, I've gone in with games where I've caught in X amount for X amount of yards and two touchdowns and be like, oh, this film session is going to be great. And you know what? It's not. It's not, because things are never as good as you think, but they're never as bad as you think. And that's the balance of a coach. You don't want to just beat him down where he's like loses confidence and he's because that's when you start seeing ghosts, right? If you don't understand what your coach is trying to tell you, that's when you see ghosts. And once you see ghosts, I remember flipping out over chunks of grass coming at me. You'd like twitch and be like, oh, was that the linebacker? No, that was a chunk of grass. For real, Gabe. And then you'd sit there on a reach route, and I'd be blocking Lee Woodall, just crushing him. And then I'd fall down, and he'd make the tackle for a 3-yard loss. And I'd be like, what the hell just happened? I was killing him. And then you watch the film, and you're like, oh, William kicked me in the back of the leg, and my leg went out, and he made the tackle. So he'll get it. Tom's a good coach. He's just got to play a little more discipline. Is what I'm saying.
Dan weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. With the injuries Jordan has had, he hasn't been able to get into a rhythm. You can tell things are moving just a little too fast for him right now, which seems like a reasonable explanation for some of the challenges he's had. Gabe.
And Jason said at the beginning of the year, growth isn't linear. And this is a different type of growth for him, dealing with injury. It was a relatively healthy year for him last year. He didn't have to learn how to deal with, now he had a knee injury that kept him out, a groin injury that almost kept him out. Okay, now how do you play, even though you're 85, 90%, whatever it was, how do you play and how can you be effective with that? I think we saw that against Minnesota, where that first half was terrible. He took a hit to the knee and like, oh, it's still there. Okay, I can play with this. And then he played tremendous in the second half outside of a Brett Favre-esque interception in the end zone. So I think it's one of those things where he is continuing to learn of how do I play and how do I play through this pain and how do I figure out ways where I can still be an effective quarterback for my team.
You know what it's like, Gabe? It's like going to golf and you have a sore elbow or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to manufacture that swing. It can't be your normal swing. You have to manufacture the swing around whatever stiff or whatever sore, right? And sometimes that takes time, you know?
Yeah, it takes you time to learn and figure that out. And I think that's what we're going through with Jordan right now.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have power rankings coming up next. I know Chewy very excited for how the power rankings are going to shake out. How far did the Packers fall after their loss to the Lions? Potawatomi Sportsbook is upping its game in a major move for all the sports bettors out there. Now you can use your Potawatomi rewards card at the self-service kiosks and at the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports, earn rewards points along the way. Now that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what
good
I was getting.
Good pop. Good pop.
That, whoa. No.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Time of the week. Let's get to power rankings.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night? Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All right. Power rankings, one glitch.
Ooh.
One glitch.
Just one glitch. For the most of it, it's okay. Pretty dialed in.
A glitch would indicate something went wrong with the actual creation of them. Like, they left seven off. A disagreement
is
not a glitch.
There's only nine teams in the top 10.
It goes from 8 to 6.
Shut up, Toad Boy. All right. Give me number 10.
I have the Texans at number 10 on my list.
The Chargers?
Ooh.
The don't sleep on the Hotlanta Falcons, number 10.
Oh, I had them a little higher. Okay.
You guys. Oh, you thought they'd be higher?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Jen, you thought they'd be lower?
I don't have the Atlanta Falcons on my top 10.
Don't sleep on them.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Nine.
Texans?
I'll go Texans.
The Philadelphia Freedom Eagles are number 9.
Really?
Yes.
I had the Eagles higher.
As did I.
Is that the glitch?
You know what?
Yeah, can you at least tell us when we hit the glitch?
I think that's the glitch. The glitch.
They need to drop this Sirianni, Jalen Hurts crap because it's not an issue, and I think that's why they put them at 9 because they're waiting for it to explode. Philadelphia's a pretty darn good team. Eight.
I guess we'll talk about it as the list continues, but I wonder where you put the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC overall. We'll discuss as the list goes on. At 8, I have... Okay, so here's the thing. I have the Texans on this list, I have the Packers on this list, and I have the Eagles. The Eagles are off already, so I'm going to go with the Packers at number 8.
I've got the Packers at 8 as well, and this is the glitch, because the Eagles
There's
beat the
glitch.
Packers.
Yep.
6-2, 6-3. Chewy thinks the Eagles should be ahead of the Packers.
I agree. I don't want to show you my... I was going to show it to the camera, but yeah, that's exactly what I have. I have the Eagles above the Packers on this list.
As they should be. As they should be. Because their wins are much more impressive than Green Bay's. And
they beat them head-to-head.
Yeah. The head-to-head thing is the glitch for Chewy.
I think they do
head-to-head's huge for Chewy.
Adam told someone there it annoys me, and they just keep annoying me.
Oh, so there's conspiracy. We can address this with Adam tomorrow.
Totally. 7.
I'm torn here, but I'm going to go with my list. I have the Steelers at 7.
Yeah, Steelers, they lead a division. I don't know if they're the 7th best team in the league, but they got to be on here somewhere.
Well,
I got them
grouped with all these 6-2, 6-3 squads.
Yeah, they're 7.
Steelers are 7, but I don't know if I'm ever going to buy them. I don't think I ever will buy them, which is kind of wrong. But the quarterback position is so important, and I don't know how they keep winning.
Russ has played really well in his two starts, Chew.
Yeah.
But
are you buying them?
I am not. I am not buying that Russell Wilson is going to continue to play like this.
So they will make playoffs. How far will they go in the playoffs?
Lose in the first round?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm with you there. 6?
6, I have the Vikings.
Minnesota.
At 6.
Yeah, Minnesota is 6.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota is 6. This could have been another glitch, like a little bump.
Well, you think they're better? You think you would have them at 5?
Who do you have at 5?
I have the Ravens at 5.
I have the Commies at 5.
Gabe is correct. The Commies are at 5. I think
Commanders
it's
are
another
7-2.
7-2.
The Ravens are 6-3. You think the Ravens are better than the?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, but okay. Are the Commanders better than Minnesota?
Their record says they are.
I think so.
No, but I just like Washington to me has a little bit of Pittsburgh in them.
You told me the Vikings were fake news. No, that's not the phrase you used, but it was something like that. The Vikings were. Phonies? Chewy was like, he doesn't believe in the Vikings. Fraud, that's the word. Thank you. I couldn't think
of it. But that's all because of...
Hey, correct. You know what?
Swimmy.
Samson.
But that's all because of Darnold, and I think their head coach, I think, is really good, and I think them getting Hawkinson back makes that a pretty darn good offense. And that's why I think they're... I mean, because... all right. Washington should be 6-3.
Because of the Hail Mary.
Yeah, but they're not. They're 7-2.
I'm just saying.
But their quarterback is really good.
Hey, this is my power rankings, and I'll rank these damn teams any way I want.
Well, no, you don't, okay? Though. You follow ESPN. Yeah.
You know why that is?
However you want.
You know why that is?
Lazy. We know.
I think it's four words. Four words.
Four words as to why you don't do your own power rankings?
Yes. Path of least resistance. Okay, give me number four.
I was going to say, only suckers actually work.
That tracks. All right, four.
Ravens.
It's got to be the Ravens.
What do we feel about the Ravens?
Their offense is I think Lamar's great. They've had a couple of oopsies. But I think they're a very, very good team. I think Lamar Jackson, either Lamar or Allen is the league MVP at that point.
Are they playing the Bengals again?
Yeah, they'll play the Bengals again.
Well, obviously, I mean, this week.
That I don't know.
I'll look. I don't think they're elite, Gabe.
Their defense is a big problem.
Yeah, but their offense, they probably have the best offense in the league.
Correct. They are playing the Bengals, Jen. 8:15 on, I don't know.
Because I saw a graphic.
Well, it would be Sunday night or Monday.
Yeah, at 8:15. I saw a graphic that said it, and I was like, huh, it feels like they just played. But yes, that's sort of how that works.
I don't think they're elite. Did you guys answer that?
Do I think that they're the fourth best team in the league? I do. Yes.
Well, hold on. Are they better than the Buffalo Bills?
What do you have at three?
Well, obviously, we know what the list looks like now. Okay.
Bills.
Chiefs won again, they'll keep number one. The Chiefs won again last night in overtime.
I think elite goes Kansas City, Lions, and then Buffalo, and then there's a gap. And then I think it's Ravens standalone.
Okay.
And then there's a gap, and then there's Washington, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Philly, Atlanta. I think Atlanta and Green Bay are pretty comparable.
Yeah, I would buy that. Sounds good to me.
Ron in the Key said, I thought that his four words were going to be, I am dumb.
I mean, I appreciate that. But Ron, you can have a nice day.
He's got a four-letter word for you, Ron, if you're interested.
By the way, Bengals-Ravens is Thursday night. Night.
That's why I saw it. It must have been on the Thursday night broadcast last week as well. All right, good list, though, Chew? Other than the one glitch?
I thought it was good. Yeah, just the one glitch. Mm. One and a half glitch.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you kind of start to get a feel for those top five teams, I think.
Correct. And until
Jen, you love Houston. Houston was 11.
I don't love Houston, but I thought they'd be number 10. And
no,
they
you love
10.
Houston.
I do?
Yeah. Well, it turns out you do. Well, said you do.
I love Lamp.
Are we just naming teams we love now?
Are you looking for reliable transportation this holiday season? Accutrans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use and again and again. During college football season, guys, I rely on Accutrans to get me to and from the airport. Sometimes travel is really difficult, but Accutrans makes it easy. Why? Booking is safe, easy, and dependable right on their website, AccutransGroup.com. And look, if you're going to be celebrating the holidays, you're going to be going to parties, you don't want to drive, let Accutrans do the driving for you. Tons of options. Just check out their website, AccutransGroup.com, for reliable and safe transportation.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it doesn't work.
Chewy.
Am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
And Chewy, dreaming of a new home before summer ends? Great Midwest Bank has the perfect mortgage loan for you. They can make your dream a reality. Their loan officers work to provide a personalized and secure banking experience for their customers. They feel like friendly neighbors because they are. Great Midwest Bank has been simply local since 1935. Go to greatmidwestbank.com to see what products they have for you. What do you want him to focus on? Chewy, this was the opportunity if you wanted to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
And rub it in some people's faces.
1-6. What's going on? I haven't watched, I don't think any. But 1-6. You know where they're at in the power rankings? Because it is Power Rankings Tuesday.
This is a great segue by you. Good job, bud.
25.
Whoa, no.
1-6? It's got to be way down there.
22.
Okay, yeah. Sounds about right.
I mean, what's the problem? What is the problem?
Oh, I have a diagnosis, but I want to hear what Gabe thinks.
It's a number of different things. They played better against the Cavs. Not having Giannis last night certainly hurts. But they played better against the Cavs. They had unprofessional performances against the Nets and the Bulls, and really the Grizzlies. Like, their defense just has not been good enough. Their bench has been bad. Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton just have not given you enough. And Pat played more last night because he had to with Giannis out, but his minutes were dropped dramatically. Against the Cavaliers. They're figuring out the bench. They're trying to figure out the defense. And it just has not been pretty. It hasn't been good. There's no sugarcoating that. I mean, you're 1-6, and you've lost a lot of these games in blowout fashion by double digits to teams you shouldn't be losing to.
All right, let's do what we do. Jen, level of concern.
Very concerned. Joshy sent us a stat in the group text. Joshy, it was about teams that start 1-6, right? And it was talking about their either likelihood of a playoff appearance.
Yes. So the tweet reads, since 1970, 150 teams have started 1-6 or worse. Just 12 of those teams made the playoffs that season, and 5 of those did that with a losing record. None won more than 47 games. Bucks have a steep hill to climb. That is from Mike Vorkunov.
So is it going to be the second year in a row where they fire their head coach in the middle of the season?
I can't imagine that they're going to make a change at head coach. I feel like they're riding with what they got. What's crazy to me, Chu, is, Gabe, you talked all last year about how they needed time, Dame and Giannis, to work together, to learn each other's tendencies, and figure out how they could both coexist on the floor. That hasn't happened. When those two are on the floor, they're not a very efficient team. And Giannis likes to have the ball in his hand.
Yep.
But the whole reason that you go out and get a Dame Lillard is so that he has the ball in his hand. How are they going to fix that?
I don't think that's been the issue. You look at the plus minus with Giannis and Dame on the floor, it's pretty good. It's when Giannis leaves the floor right now. And again, it's just the bench minutes. It's just too big of a gap. You're going to obviously have a downfall when Giannis isn't on the floor, but it's just such a big gap that they end up falling behind and then having to play catch up when Giannis is on or off the floor. So I think that the starters, again, I think everything is going to be okay. But Chris needs to come back, and then things start to fall into place. But it's obviously all very fragile.
So we're relying on Chris Middleton to be the
Chris comes
drug
back
here.
Well, Chris comes back, and it to me it almost eliminates the minutes that you end up playing for Pat Connaughton. I think Taurean Prince then coming off the bench. You can even probably play Prince some of those minutes that you're playing Bobby, because he's been very unplayable.
Yeah. Angie, turn that off.
Hey, they're asking questions, Josh. I'm not bringing this up on me. They're asking me the questions.
Thank you.
They're asking me the questions.
Gabe, Seinfeld scale.
A little stressed.
You look a little stressed.
Oh, I'm stressed.
Yeah, I don't think you can be anything, you know, lower than that, because 1-6 isn't good. It's terrible. I mean, the numbers that Josh read off prove out, hey, teams that start like this don't make the playoffs. That being said, I doubt that all of those teams had two top 75 players of all time on their roster, so I think the Bucks are ultimately going to be a playoff team, but it's not good right
now. So why do you wait the entire year to fire Doc Rivers?
I don't know if it's a Doc problem.
Well, then, what is it then?
It's a roster problem.
They don't.
It's a roster problem.
That sounds like a little more than stressed. That should be, I'm freaking out.
We'll see what happens when Chris comes back and what the minutes and the rotations are. If they can eventually make a move where they, you know, trade Bobby Portis or get a different big instead of Bobby. Because, again, watching him when he has the ball, man, like, it just, the ball stops. It just stops.
We're just laughing at you.
I'm not. I'm not laughing at Gabe.
No, yeah, you are. You're the one that started the laughing. Jen, there's a camera right in front of my face. You started the laughing, which got me to laugh.
We care about it as well. That's crazy.
No, obviously not. You guys are laughing at me.
No, we just
laughing and lying.
Joshy's got his finger. Joshy's got his finger hovering over the weed whacker button just for you to go into any sort of plus minus or any sort of like advanced statistic for the Bucks. And so that's
they're asking me questions, Joshy. I'm just answering the questions.
I do think it is fair. I'm freaking out at this point because, again, I think Giannis is, as everybody would say, he's a generational talent, right? But I also think that, like, he's got to play differently in order for this team to win. It is still a team sport. And yes, Gabe, do I think that there are deficiencies on the roster? I do. Do I think that Chris Middleton is going to solve all of them? I don't. And I do think that you want the offense running through Dame. Like, Giannis has got to relinquish the ball at times.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think
that's Marquette
fair.
Win.
Yeah, oh, they won by a million okay. points.
Although it was tight early on. And Gabe said, get your head out of your bleep hole.
And then Cam Jones did. He had 20 points at the half. Yeah, they won by a bunch.
To the positive.
Wisconsin, yeah. By the way, speaking of Marquette, Alex Stroph did a great job with this being opening week. He talked with all four Division I men's head basketball coaches in the state. Check those out on ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube page. The Shaka Smart one, in particular, if you're a Marquette fan, is fantastic. Although Tom Crean tweeted about it and I was confused.
Tom Crean tweeted about ESPN Milwaukee talking to Shaka Smart.
Because Shaka had the quote of, you don't leave, Marquette's not a place you leave for unless you run out of eligibility.
Well, because they were talking
about
the transfer portal, right? And how Greg Gard lost some guys to the transfer portal, but Marquette did not.
Well, and Tom Crean said, you know, he's right. And then at Marquette MBB, which I found interesting
because Tom Crean
left Marquette for Indiana. I found that interesting.
Gabe, I don't know if you remember, it's Indiana. That famously was Tom Crean's explanation for why he was taking the job at Indiana. Indiana. I will tell you this, guys, having been in Bloomington last week, not this past, but the previous for game day, man, they still love them some Bob Knight there. The hotel that I was in, maybe you saw it on my Instagram page, had pictures, artwork in the hotel, up and down the hallways of the hotel, chairs, flying chairs.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah, 100% true. 100% flying chairs. And I wrote, if you don't know where I am, you do now. We had to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on right after this.
Tune in to Behind the Bucks, the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origins of Bucks and Six, how it became a rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Clock is ticking. We get closer and closer to the trade deadline. I would look at the tea leaves, i.e. the insiders, and say, nobody's talking about the Packers. Because they're not. You know, Diana Rossini had the report yesterday that she thought that Za'Darius Smith was going to land with the Detroit Lions. All signs were pointing towards that. Boop, it happens this morning. Za'Darius Smith is a member of the Detroit Lions. But you're seeing teams mentioned with some of these guys, Chase Young and the like that we talked about earlier this morning. I'm not seeing the Packers mentioned at all. However, I have learned, Chew, that the Gutekunst and company like to operate in the shadows. And that more than likely there will be a statement this afternoon by Brian Gutekunst that says, we were in on blank.
Yeah. I think that's what it's going to be. I think I'm more intrigued at thinking a deal Preston Smith. There's probably a better chance of that than them landing someone.
But I don't think you trade Preston unless you do land someone.
You can't be sellers.
Yeah, I can't.
Sellers,
I mean, I understand
last year,
maybe
this year.
It seems like a bad calculated risk that, oh yeah, Lucas Van Ness will, if he plays more, he'll just get better. Because Lucas Van Ness is not as good as Preston Smith is right now.
No, and I don't think he will be. You know why? Because guys like Lucas Van Ness, you expect them to get better because they're undersized. They haven't had the experience of the weight room. Their body's maturing. He came in with it already mature. They already said he was a Hulk. So it's not like he's going to get any bigger or faster because he was – I'm just wondering if he was a combine guy and they missed on him. I've seen too much bad. The bad is far outweighing the good, right?
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
I mean, so I don't know. I if I'm a betting man, they don't do anything.
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying as well. On the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account, it says, will the Green Bay Packers make a trade today before the deadline? 84% of people are saying no. And that is because, as we have discussed, they just don't very often. That's actually what is fueling Gabe's position on it today. They just don't make a lot of moves. They don't make a lot of in-season acquisitions. Obviously, the Rasul Douglas thing from last year was a giveaway, a trade away instead of an acquisition. And then we put on the poll, what is the Packers' biggest need that they could address prior to the trade deadline? This one's 50-50. 50% of respondents want a defensive end. 50% of respondents want a cornerback. I got to be honest, the defensive end to me will have much more production, pop.
Depends upon who it is. If it's Lattimore or Newsom, like that, there is not a defensive end that's as good as those two cornerbacks. There is just not. And the one that's got the most sacks that's still out there potentially, Azeez Ojulari from the Giants, Jordan Ronan, who covers them for ESPN.com, tweeted earlier, he doesn't think that's going to happen because the Giants were looking for a bigger return, and after seeing what some of the pass rushers have gone for so far, he's not anticipating Ojulari to go anywhere.
I guess I'm surprised that the Giants are still kind of hanging around or hanging in there. Like, I would have thrown in the towel if I were the Giants by now.
Like
they're
like,
last in their division.
Yeah, they're 2-7.
Fast forward to next year though, and if they don't get Lattimore, do we have a corner problem going into next year as well? Because they ain't bringing back Stokes.
Yeah, I would say there would be a depth issue there that would need to be addressed.
Gabe,
it would be likely addressed in the draft.
Gabe, halfway through the season, was this a Joe Barry problem or was this a personnel problem or a mix of both?
Both.
Mix of both. Certainly a mix of both, because you're seeing what Joe Barry Chewy can do in terms of manufacturing some pressure. Like, I mean, Haffley. Keyshawn Nixon, that's what I'm sorry. you're seeing what Haffley can do in terms of manufacturing pressure. Like Keyshawn Nixon has a couple of sacks this year. McKinney and just the way that they're playing on the back end, forcing those turnovers. So clearly there was a schematic thing. But at the end of the day, like, I mean, maybe Joe Barry didn't care about stopping the run, but they don't have a front four that can stop the run. You know, like they, so there's certainly some personnel issues there as well.
Yeah.
Here's what I will say, guys. If they don't get somebody, it's not the end of the world. They've got good players.
No,
I think
agree.
That, again, are they a playoff team? Yes. But I do think that they need to obviously clean up a lot of the stuff we have talked about in order for them to get to that upper echelon of teams in the NFC. Still a lot of time to do it. Obviously, they got the bye. Then they got the Bears. That should be fun for everybody. Goes without saying today, do your civic duty. Being a citizen of the United States of America means you have the right to vote. Vote, vote, vote today. Everybody get out to the polls. I know you've got the texts. I know you've got the calls. I know you know to vote. Just offering our friendly reminder from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great one, everybody.